Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Greetings, adventurers. Today we're excited to introduce you to a new story, Dark Dice, a horror podcast that blurs the line between actual play and audio drama, where the story is determined by the roll of the dice. Six adventurers embark on a journey into the ruinous domain of the Nameless God. They will never be the same again. One of the players is not what they seem after a doppelganger, a creature that can assume the form and voice of whatever it kills, infiltrates the team. As the players are picked off and replaced one at a time, can they figure out who the monster is before it's too late? Can you? Here's a quick example of what our show sounds like.
The shambler with the jar of liquid inside of him.
Soren Arkwright let loose an arrow that cracked the glass, passing through the spine of the creature. The shambler still managed to maintain its forward momentum, but stumbled as it eagerly tried to bite and swipe at Soren, landing near his feet.
As Jeff Goldblum has now joined our cast, Dark Dice is available however you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back, companions, to the Lucky Die. Previously, Balance fully investigates, Raal has a shopping list, and Zoltana gains her first follower. Upon finding the alchemist, Raal asks for help in bringing Aimer back, and is promised an answer when he returns. Upon her return to the Cleric of the Triad, Zoltana is welcomed, even if she's no longer in charge of the army. Now the team are returning up the mountain to rescue one of their own from Cicero. Where is Raal going to find a diamond value 25,000 gold? Where is Rondi's sister? And will they get squashed back in one piece? I guess you're about to find out. Welcome back to the Lucky Die.
As you guys wave hello to your spectres, because Raal is in position to wave hello at his spectre, you guys find yourself standing on top of a familiar place. It's still super cold, but the clouds that had been brewing above Dead Sky Mountain have kind of petered out. It's kind of clearer. And you all get a really good view of Discora. It's beautiful in its broken state. And you arrive there on top of the altar. And Demi says...
I have flashbacks.
If you want to. You can still see through all the different planes. They are randomly rotating through what you can see, just the quickest of glances. And Demi kind of like rolls her shoulders and she says, okay, I need all of you to stand together. And it might be better if you, let's just say it would be more comfortable for everyone involved if you weren't looking at me while I cast the spell, because, you know, it's going to be, yeah. And also, you guys are really cold, so we want to get this done before you freeze to death, because, yeah.
I'm... Right, probably a good idea. I'll stand.
Even I'm feeling a little cold.
I'll stand furthest away from you just like for
posterity.
I think you'll be fine. You'll be good. Just stand together and hold hands and be in a circle and kind of like look at each other.
Right.
I can probably get Tio, your little dragon, who's so adorable. I could probably send them through too if you really want. I don't know about Alex.
But you can't send my wolf.
I can do up to seven. Yeah, I can do this.
To.
I can send everyone.
That
it's going
like
to be fine.
It's going to be tiring.
It's okay. It's gonna be okay. Okay, so just make sure, like, just look at each other and just hold on. And everyone's wearing metal this time, right? Good, excellent. What? Okay, cool.
I feel like don't send the wolf, because I feel like what use is it going to be over in the non-material plane? I'm not going to need to ride it.
Tio.
So she, as you guys are standing there, she basically begins to. You can see that she pulls out of her bag. She pulls out a kind of like a stick thing, and as she kind of shakes it, it enlarges, and she begins to carve into the ice around where you're standing various arcane symbols. She draws a big circle around you, crosses the lines between you, and continues to draw more arcane symbols around you. And as she does this, as she begins to finish out the drawings on the ground, you see the kind of grooves that she's created begin to fill up with small amounts of trace fire that melts the ice around it, so you can see the stonework underneath. You begin to see that the flames lift up and around you guys a little bit, and they begin to change slowly through purples and greens. And you begin to hear Demi chanting in a very deep but rhythmic voice. So it's like Barry Light on repeat. It's amazing. Does anyone look at her?
Nope.
Nuh-uh.
No, she's gonna get scary. So
she is gonna get scary. Okay.
Ral knows better than to scare himself.
As she chants this, you hear the sound of a blade being drawn. You hear the sound of a blade being drawn across skin, and you hear a whimper of pain. And then you guys look at each other. As you look at each other, you see a circle of bright blue light appearing around you. It creates a kind of pentagram. Not a pentagram. It cuts a circle into five equal pieces. And you feel and see each other shatter into five equal pieces. And everything around you goes dark, black. You can't feel each other. You can't see each other. You just know you exist. And then when those pieces are pushed back together, you find yourself standing in a field. You can see that there is a fence and a little gate. There is a little house off in the distance, up on stilts. And you can see a halfling family making their way inside, talking and joking and being happy. It's warm and comfortable here. You feel at peace as best as you can. Standing before you next to this gate is a Valkyrie. She stands there holding her sword point down in the ground, and she's staring at the three of you.
We're all waves.
No, what? Ral!
What?
Don't wave at Valkyrie.
You three don't appear to be dead.
No.
What the fuck are you doing on my plane?
We're here trying to find our friend that seems to have gotten stuck here.
He was with us and he got lost, and we were told he was here.
Little halfling, about yay high.
Ral is like getting on his hands and knees to like look underneath the houses and shit.
So the house is off in the distance a little bit.
Okay.
Past the gate, past the fence where the Valkyrie is standing. She says,
okay. What's the name of this young halfling?
Squash?
Squash.
Squash, 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 squash.
And she kind of like reaches, like puts the sword back on her hip and kind of like reaches into a side pocket and pulls out like this scroll, which just seems to get ever bigger and bigger and bigger, and it just like rolls off the end. She's scanning through like,
I can't find a squash.
Well, he's not dead.
Is that a...
Oh, not dead. Oh, well, this is a bloody useless scroll then. She kind of like rolls it back off and like puts it on one hip and she reaches into another one and's like, ah, well, we have a few people waiting here, but we don't see a squash. Go by any other name?
Not that he's told us.
He's small.
Small, okay. And, well, that leaves us with 15. Carry on.
Scars on his face.
Teeth are a little bit kind of nasty.
Scars. Are we talking fire scars, acid scars, or knife scars?
Acid.
Acid.
Acid scars. Okay, that leaves us with 3. Anything else?
Nasty looking teeth.
Came here.
He's really into drugs.
There was a magic trap.
Oh, well, that can only be one.
There we go.
That narrowed it down real quick.
I don't know why that wasn't the first thing you guys said. Do you have any drug addicts on this plane?
Okay. Well, you'll find him just by the gate here. Oh, of course, you can't see him. My bad. We kind of put him in a separate existence. Be gentle with him. She kind of cracks her knuckles, and as she's about to, like, reach forward, she kind of looks back at the three and is like, you sure you didn't want to die? You could just pass on through to the other side. It makes things a lot easier.
We're kind of trying to save
the
world.
Painful death to worry, and...
I'm sorry,
I've got better things to do than die and become an angel, but whatever, fine. She reaches out and she puts her hands, like, roughly where you know Squash's head height would be. And as she does that, you see kind of like his form, like the colours bleed from where her hand is. And they drip down like paint and like make the outline and the form and the coloration of Squash. And Squash, you are awake from the moment that you last remember.
Squash!
Squash, are they standing in front of him or?
Yeah, yeah.
He just seems absolutely taken aback, and he just kind of grabs his right wrist and just like, Balance, Ral, Sultana.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
You came.
This is Cicero, huh? This seems nice.
Yes, it's absolutely excellent here. We've heard no qualms. Well, occasionally there are portals that open into the material plane and some cheeky little scamps make it out and make it in. But yeah, it's generally a nice place. Wonderful place.
Isn't this the place where the Sandman comes from?
Oh, yes. The Sandman, we have phoenixes, we have other Valkyries, of course. I'm not the same one, Squash. She's gone on to do a different thing inside. It's my turn on duty today. So what sort of celestial beings make it out of here?
Huh. Did you come here to get me back?
No, we're just stopping by to say hello. Of course we're here to get you back.
Can we leave?
Yes. I think the spell that's being performed is being held open until you wish to go back. I mean, I can just send you back, of course. Well, now that's the interesting thing. You see, these three people here were sent via a spell, but you were sent by something very different. I assume you don't want to go back to how you got here, the place.
Someone
said it's some sort of vault haven. Oh, that sounds wonderful.
No.
But no, I don't want to go back there. Don't send me back there.
Squash, why don't you come over here and take my hand? Come here.
So... Well, the thing is, you three will be ported back to where you were sent through, where you broke through. But Squash is going to be a little more difficult, I'm afraid.
Why?
What?
Well, the thing is, Squash was sent here from Vault Haven, which is a wonderful place I got written on here. So he would normally be pinging back to there. Other ways of returning back after casting a spell is you go back to the place you consider home, or you have to have a very good, strong anchor or link to the people that have come to rescue you. See, the thing is, Squash, this all actually comes down to you.
I want to go with them, I think. I want to go with you guys, right?
Do you?
Why are you asking us?
Where did you come from?
Demi.
From Demi.
Where did you go from, Cotman and Joe?
Oh, yes, I want to go with you.
There's
I will go with them.
There's a mountain in the planes are weak or something, and Demi couldn't come. But we were able to. Here we are.
Okay.
And then we're going to go back to Falsum, and then there's some things going on.
Oh, I could... Could I take him back with my sword? Would that, like, bypass everything?
Well...
What?
My sword can do plane jumping. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it, she says.
Don't worry about it.
Well, that was an option. I'm pretty sure your sword doohickey thing could absolutely take anyone back if they wish. Well, you know. But this entirely depends on you, Squash. So I think your spell is about to end, so I'm going to send those three back. But if you want to go back with them, I say you have to decide now. If
yes,
not,
yes,
you're please. Just going to be pinged back to that little hole you call home.
Valance holds out a hand towards Squash.
No, I don't want to go home. Send me with them. Them.
Yep. Okay, then. I'm not sending you anywhere. Good luck!
What?
And with that, the three of you feel a tug on your navel.
I try to reach out and grab Squash. I try to, like, grab him.
Now, what you feel will depend on what Squash is feeling. So you literally have the option. You won't be sent back to Vault Haven, as she has called it. Mm-hmm. But it's where your pull is the strongest. Where are you going? Are you going back with the two brave companions and Rael? Or are you going back to your home?
Oh, you're being so mean.
Yes, I know. But this... Squash has gone through a lot, and this has suddenly been jumped upon him. Yeah, so this is going to be completely on his shoulders.
He's had literally 0 seconds to think about what has happened to him.
Uh-huh.
Like, technically to him, he was in the vault 1 minute ago.
Mm-hmm.
So he hasn't had time to reflect on anything.
To be fair, we should have waited until we saved the world.
He would have had a much more peaceful time.
No, we need help.
No, he's going with them. They said Demi was there.
Okay. The three of you, four of you, balance as you reach out to try and grab hold of Squash's arm. You feel it fluctuate for just a moment, as in like, oh no, my hand's gone through it, but then it just kind of like moves away as Squash materializes. And the four of you land butt first on the ice, just in front of the altar of Dead Sky Mountain. Squash, there is a big, horrible-looking altar to one side, and it's there's stone circle made of like standing stones, a bit like Stonehenge. And this place is covered in ice, apart from a really big circle of ice that has been melted away by fire fairly recently.
And fucking cold. Yeah.
And it's fucking cold. It's very difficult to breathe up here.
Yeah, if Squash just like gets up, like, where is this
mountain?
Oh, God damn it.
What?
I know what I'm...
I mean, me, damn it.
What? Why are you cursing? What? We did it.
Yeah, but now we're back on the fucking mountain.
Well, because Demi's right here.
Demi is, in fact, standing right there. She, however, has a bandage tied, like a wrapping tied across, like, one eye. And she's kind of like standing there, like still channeling the spell, waiting for you guys to like return or keeping your concentration on it. And when she sees that you guys have arrived, but first, sort of like, I'm going to say like off to one side of her. She just immediately notices you've appeared and she drops the spell and she looks at you all. You made it. You're fine. You're okay. You're alive. Oh, okay. Okay. Okay, good. Right. So I'm gonna we can go back now. We're good. I have enough energy left and we can go. Like, okay, we need to go somewhere warm because even I'm beginning to feel cold and that's very unusual. And I can imagine all of you are really cold right now because you know you're wearing metal and you're wearing virtually nothing and you're still wearing the stuff you were sneaking in around. So I think we should probably, where do we want to go? Do we want to go right to Beligbood or do we want to go to Falsum or do we want me to take you somewhere else? Perhaps I could take you to Telnath or perhaps I could take you to Darkhammer Stronghold or perhaps I could take you to Vanlas because Vanlas is an option, or I could take you to Scapvort because that's also an option. Of course, I could just teleport us to another plane of existence and then we have to ride this whole thing out sipping alcohol and getting massages. What do you think?
Why don't we go to Falsum so that we can, I guess, take a breather and then we can go
right,
to Beligbood
right, take a breather,
after.
Right. We can absolutely do that. We have time in our schedule to take a breather. Okay, everyone grab hands. Everyone got hands. She puts a hand on Zoltana's shoulder and a hand on Balance's shoulder.
I think Squash is still holding Balance's hand.
That works.
All right. Okay, nobody wearing okay, cool, great, this is wonderful. And she floats in the air a little bit. You guys are still kind of like butt first on the ice. And you guys feel a tug on your navel. As you go propelling through the stalking, for those of you who've been through the stalking a fair amount, you see kind of...
a new Spectre.
You see Sultana and Raoul Spectre just kind of like talking, and they kind of see you guys passing through and they wave at everyone that's going through. You don't see Balance's austere, like very kind of like mom-ish Spectre. She's not around. You also don't see Demi Spectres around. And then Bapf, you guys are in the Witcher Society. Sorry, you guys are in the temple. She take you to the temple.
I wanted to see Squashes.
A Squash, I forgot to tell you. Our Spectres, we have the same Spectre.
Oh.
What?
Same friend.
Wait, are we safe?
What?
We're in the temple. You've been to the temple before. Remember, we were in the temple for a little while, and you were like, hey, we're here in the temple, and you learn a lot of things, and there are a bunch of people from Severus here, so don't worry about all the keys.
Demi.
Yes.
Stop. It was a yes or no question.
But I feel like you needed a bit more information about what was going on. I mean, you were really confused, like, was it this or this? And like, I don't know what part of your memory you have. Have you lost any memory?
Demi, why don't you let us catch him up? Give him some room.
Wait, yeah, we're in the, you said temple, the Falsum Temple.
Falsum
Festival. The underground one, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, Squash just looks around like, yeah, the temple, right. Okay, so wait, we're back in Falsum. What? Okay. Where?
Why don't we get you some food? Get you something to drink?
No, we'll I don't need what's... food.
All right.
Did we get the? Did you guys get?
Rolf is okay, looking so kind of nervous.
On the chalice. All right. So, side note. Aether.
Yes.
Do you? I think I've managed to fill you in everything that has happened. Right.
Mostly the important bits, I think.
All right, let's assume that Demi explains this in about 5 minutes flat.
Oh,
just
Jesus.
Dumps everything.
And then they explain it in about 15 minutes and Squash gets it.
Yes.
Yes.
So 20 minutes total.
20 minutes total. Squash is caught up. Let's insert episodes between whenever you disappeared and episode 103.
All right. Squash just kind of sits stunned as people talk at him for about 20 minutes. And, like, at the end of the whole thing, he's just sitting there like, wait, so how long has it been? 2 weeks?
No.
Not that long, a week-ish?
Yes, about 7 days.
God, you guys did a lot in 7 days.
That's kind of our thing, is doing a lot in a very short period of time, apparently.
Rol has that look on his face like, yeah, yeah.
Where I was like,
yeah.
So thank you for coming back for me.
Couldn't just leave you there.
You're worried.
Thank you. It's I'm glad I made the right choice.
You can see Rawl's kind of... Rawl looks excited. He's wagging his tail and he looks like he wants to hug you, but he's restraining.
Squash appreciates that.
You can do so from a safe distance.
I think Squash just kind of... like, it's just kind of trying to figure things out and then just kind of goes like... I have to go home.
Why?
I think my parents are dead. I saw them there. They were there in Cicero. I think I may have run away their entire life.
What are you hoping to accomplish by going home?
I don't know. I just need to make sure. If I'm right, then that's awful. But if I'm wrong, then this is my last chance. I've wasted so much time.
Maybe a lot of people are showing up in town. Maybe someone
knows. I can almost guarantee there's at least one person here that could probably guarantee whether or not they've passed on. Whether or not they'll do, it's another thing entirely, as long
Emil,
as I'm not in the room.
Emil can help. Emil, we can talk to Emil. He'll know.
It's not just that there are... I need time to think. I was dead.
You weren't dead.
No.
Demi like looks down and doesn't say anything.
Spectre says you weren't dead.
No, not dead, but like there. I don't feel good, and Squash just gets up and walks out.
Give him some space. Demi, I think you should probably be the next one to talk to him in a little bit.
I don't think maybe I'm the right person, because I kind of like, I don't exactly push him, but I can, I'm going to go deal with the mirror.
That's fair. Here, Balance passes the note that has the braiding.
Okay. She takes that and she goes to hang out in the mirror room. She's going to go do her thing. All right. So what do y'all want to do?
Raul's going
to
give...
Very sorry to throw this on you guys.
No, Raul's going to give Squash some space. And then after a while, kind of mosey over to him and like offer him a drink of dwarven beer, probably, because that's Raul's kind of like go-to of what drinks he always just orders habitually, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the drink that the boat groom would Raul go for.
I don't think Raul drinks anything else or knows much of any other things that people drink. So, just kind of what he does.
Okay, so where is Squash at this moment? Let's say it's been like an hour. Let's say that.
An hour. Oh, you find Squash close to a playground. It's empty currently.
It's broken if it's on surface level.
Oh, wait, we're on the surface?
Like, there wouldn't be a playground in the temple area?
There was a place where I was watching the kids play.
Yeah, that was not really a playground. Okay. Like, it's just a place they were playing.
Okay. I think Squash wanders there again. I think he's... There's no other place there that he likes or knows, really.
In that case, it'll be like the really big entrance hall where like the fountain and claws and guardian are wandering around and stuff. So,
yeah, you find Squash just kind of leaning up against, like kind of standing in the middle of a hall, maybe leaning up against a wall. And he's staring out and he seems to be muttering a little bit to himself. When you see him.
Raul approaches you with a beer.
He approaches slowly, hands you the beer, and assuming you take it, takes a good couple steps away because, like, he knows.
Once you, like, pass the beer into his peripheral vision, he just kind of reacts and, like, oh, Raul, oh, thank you. And he grabs the mug from you. And sees you take the two steps back. And I'm going to say that, like, he turns to take the mug, and as soon as he grabs it from your hand, he already pushed himself up against the wall. And you take the steps back, he kind of leans again, unconsciously, out of the wall. Hey.
Are you okay?
No. No, I'm absolutely not okay.
You let me know what I can do. If anything, I'll help you. You are... I know that we all kind of had to go through the portal and you kind of got unlucky with that, but...
Is Pinter okay? Yeah, Pinter's okay.
He's okay.
Yeah, that was part of the whole thing. Oh, I'm sorry. It was not...
Before that, though, you... What are being selfless, and you are making sure we were not in danger.
No, I fucked everything up.
No, you didn't.
I hit every trap. I fell into everything.
Yeah.
I,
We would have done worse without you. Guaranteed. But we made it anyways, and
that's good. That's good. You met a dragon.
Yeah, that was not very great. And Rawl kind of probably knows exactly where that motherfucker is, gestures over to the other fucking dragon that's in here.
I'm going to say that you kind of almost have an innate feeling as to where this other dragonborn is.
I think I like keep my peripheral like pin on him, you know?
Yeah.
But I wanted to say thank you.
No, thank you. I chose to put myself into that situation. I chose to try to help, try to save the world, put Monarch to better.
And I know what that's like. I know, but you aren't sick anymore. And you shouldn't have been risking all that. And you are in a situation that we weren't just going to leave you there. You got hurt helping us. And we owe you for that. So just let us know how we can help you. And if you just need time or if you need to go home. I don't know why you didn't tell the Valkyrie to do it, but we can help you get home somehow.
I don't know. I wasn't thinking clearly. I was just happy to see you guys again. Relieved.
So you don't think you weren't there long, huh?
No, it genuinely felt less than a minute. Since I went blind when I went through the portal and until I saw you again. They put me in a some kind of spell. Time just flew by. Before they did that, I saw like a... I saw what I think my home looked like. And on the other side of a little fence that I don't believe we had a fence, but... It was there, and on the other side of it, I saw my parents, and I don't know, maybe it's just an illusion, maybe they're just trying to trick me, but...
I saw a lot of things there I did not recognize.
Yeah?
Maybe your house?
Maybe. I don't know. So much I need to do.
Cicero seems nice, though. Seems nice.
Seems peaceful, at least.
If you're actually there, you know. And not under whatever spell.
There's so much I need to fix. There's so many people I left hurt.
How are you going to help them? How are you going to make it up to them?
No.
You can do it individually, or you've been doing a lot to help us so far, and that helps them a lot too.
Maybe. Nobody even knows why Grishuk and Crescent never returned. Nobody knows why I didn't return. There are so many people who put their faith in me and I just ran away. I need to return to the Earthdark. I need to tell the Srifneblina what happened. I need to tell the Ulreis what happened to Grishuk and Crescent. I need to return to Empty Shallows and tell them all what happened. The Agent may still be going there. He may still be fucking with them. They don't even know what a piece of shit he is. Because I've been running away for the last 25 years.
But no, you're not. You didn't in the vault. So we can go back. We can take it a step at a time and figure it out. Just whenever you're ready. And whenever we have the time. Because, fuck. I haven't had time to do anything either.
You haven't had time to do something?
Yeah, I'm making progress. At least now. He kind of smiles a little bit.
What are you trying to do?
Get Tama back.
Yeah, you're a dragon lady.
Right, still on about that.
You miss her a lot, don't you?
you know, it's kind of the way of things, you know. Just got to live with it.
At this point, Squash is probably halfway through the giant mug that you brought him. So what are you guys going to do? What's your next step?
Well, right now the dwarves and the elves are fighting and we have to stop that because we might be able to.
Yeah.
And then the dwarves can go and hopefully do a lot to help us figure out what's going on over in Kino. Seems like a good safe bet on what we should be doing.
Have to take out a queen. And what? Do you think Balance is just gonna blow up her head?
No.
Is he that cold?
I think we're trying to not kill her.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the dwarves could probably just do it.
You underestimate the elves. The ones I've dealt with, they're quick. Quick-witted. They don't fall for tricks as easily as most other races.
I guess I fought with more of the dwarves.
Oh, dwarves. You can trick them easily, but once they're onto you, they'll hunt you to the end of the earth. What was that thing?
No, alternatively, yes.
Piss off the dwarves, they're my favorite race.
Every time I pissed off a dwarf, they went, this is going in the book of grudges.
Fuck you.
See, now you have time, though. You have time to make it right.
Do I, though? The whole fucking world's ending. A god died while I was out, right?
Yeah.
Roll nods.
Like, we haven't stopped this. This is still going on.
I don't know what to tell you. I hope you can stop it. I hope we can stop it. I don't think I'm going to make it that long, but I hope so, because otherwise bringing Emma back would be kind of worth nothing.
Yeah. We need a world for her to return to.
There's a chance. That's, you know, better than what I had in jail. Prison.
Oh, Queen. Oh, God. Kino.
I try not to think about a lot of it. Helps.
But you have to. You have to face this.
Oh, I know, because I have to be there. Yeah, I know. I just try not to think about it.
If you guys will let me, I would love to help with the whole queen business. But once that's done, I need to return home. I need to see my home. I need to see for myself the graves.
I'm pretty sure everyone will understand you doing whatever you need to do whenever you feel like you need to do it, so your help is appreciated if you decide to help.
Squash just kind of like finishes off the drink and then just looks at you and goes,
so what now? I guess we have to go ask Balance and Sultana if they will let me help.
Yeah, usually about this time they're trying to teleport me somewhere. So, I don't know. I'll have to go check on that. See where we need to go next.
All right. The two of you get up and head towards Balance and Sultana. Where are you?
I feel like I'm probably practicing fighting somewhere in the barracks.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. It's definitely doable. So, like, the training room, specifically off to one side, you could probably be a better place for that.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Sorry. <Yeah.
laughs> The barracks, people are trying to sleep here.
I'm just fighting all the sleeping people.
Yeah. There's fending off against Sandman. There. Yeah, there are a couple of people there who are like up and awake and ready to do the sparring thing, and yeah, that's cool. Balance.
I feel like Bounce probably would have tried to find anybody who might be able to get a message to Pintor and Zilfar.
Uh-huh.
And let them know what's going on and that we're probably going to end up getting to Bellyboot ahead of them because of everything. Unless okay. they have a way to get back to Folsom in the next day.
The best shot would be your mother.
Then I will go to Mom. Mom!
Mama Dathra dear. You make your way over to Mama Dathra dear. She's in kind of like the far, far, far corner of the barracks now. She moved somewhat. And you can see like there's a little cordon, like it's a good portion of this corner of the room that's been like put to one side. And as you kind of like pop your head around the corner, you can see that your mom is sparked out half asleep with a baby on her chest.
Balance like sputters. Like he doesn't even have a drink. He's spit.
That was fast.
Do you need to get your shit together so you don't blow this baby up with your brain?
I would never.
Your mom would not be impressed.
I would never.
You say that, but you were in prison for maybe doing that.
Listen, this podcast might have some very dark lines. Baby killing is not okay.
Blowing will, babies
no,
up.
No, I draw
no,
a line.
No, babies have an aura of meta will not die. I will not kill babies.
We'll only age them to where they can die. Now you can kill Talus without feeling so bad, V.
Did you hear that, everyone? So when I eventually kill Talus, everyone point at Neil and say, Neil said it was okay.
Yep. No, yep. That's not the implications right, that I'm making are different.
Nope. Good thing I'm recording the call. You can't cut this one out, Neil.
That's the exact implication
I'm right.
you're making.
The implication that I'm making is that V aged Talus in order for it to be okay for her to kill off Talus.
Yep.
We all know I could kill almost any character except Talus. If I kill Talus, there will be riots and I will be hunted down and killed.
Unless you age her more and then she's not a child.
Unless I make her 50. Yeah.
And then everyone
cares
less.
It's sure a good thing you live on a remote island.
Yeah, that's true. Like, no one can find me on this tiny island of virtually no people.
Tell Rath. We don't know what's there.
All right. Yeah, so you walk in, you spit take, and your mother tells you, like, shh.
That was rather quick. I didn't think you were that far along.
She opened her eye and looked at you, and she's like, yeah. With the god of birth and rebirth made things shuffle along a little quicker.
Ah, that would make sense.
Does it? How are you? Is everything okay?
No.
Sit down. She kind of like opens her eyes a little bit and like pats like a chair next to her.
Bellin sits down. Like his eyes have not left the baby.
Do you have a name?
Mm-hmm. We are calling her.
Don't you dare go to the Patreon list.
I'm not naming this baby after the Patreon list.
I have a sister.
This is Sin Ethanor. Which is S-I-N, apostrophe because it's Elvish. E-A-T-H, and then space. A-N-O-R. And your knowledge of Siniath Anor, which your knowledge of Elven, olden Elven, translates to new sun. As in like, S-U-N? I'm a blinky sun. Yes, S-U-N, not, she didn't, no, new sun, yes, as in the sparkly thing in the sky.
Not new son, as in both of my sons are dead to me and this girl is my only son now.
Right, there's a little bit of a...
This is new son. New son's better than old son.
Now I want to go change it to something else because this is making me feel uncomfortable. I thought I was being really
First
cute
son
and
was
nice.
A fuck up. Second son's a bitch. Doesn't even want the fucking throne.
My
Maybe my daughter will want the throne and we'll have a good queen. Instead of a dark king, you will have a queen.
Wait, what do you mean dark king? Excuse you.
Nothing. Wow. I'm just nothing at all. She looks over and says, do you want to hold her?
Sure.
She takes the baby off her chest and like wiggles it into your arm and shows you how to hold it properly.
Balance is like very rigid. Like his back is like straight, like his spine is straight up. He's just like,
Oh God.
I think, oh, this is.
So, what is it you wanted to ask or say or?
So Auntie kind of attacked Thakit, was sent people to attack Thakit, and Rowena didn't take that very well, and they declared war. We're gonna be going to deal with her like tomorrow. I know Dad and Pinsor were supposed to be going. Also scout ahead, but things have accelerated. Can you let them know what's happening? And can they be back by tomorrow, maybe? I would really like it if they were there.
She looks down at her wrist and Nip uncurls and like scurries off. And you think maybe he's like diving into the earth somewhere.
Thank you, Nip.
Most useful companion I have.
She reaches over and takes your baby sister out of your arms.
Don't let Dad hear you say that.
Nift is my new son.
The truth. Stop it. Stop it. I try to be cute. Better than Balance, son.
Nift will get back to us whenever Nift is ready to. Everything go okay with Sultana?
Mostly. I almost died twice, but everything went well. Besides that,
you see her face just go like completely pale for a moment. Like, my son died. What?
Bounce pulls up his armor, showing like the two puncture wounds that have healed over.
Yep.
There was some complications and an ice monster person thing. There was a lot going on.
Well, I'm glad to see you're safe now.
Yeah, until we dive into the fray once more tomorrow.
I'm sure you're going to be fine. When it comes to it, you'll know the right thing to do. You'll feel it in your gut. Just, you know that even if you manage to prove your theories that she's been controlled, she can't stay as queen.
No, I kind of figured. It's going to be an issue with getting everyone on the council to agree to things, but we don't have much choice right now.
Your father will have that well under control. They won't thank him for what needs to be done.
That's assuming that Yethlen doesn't interfere.
Yes, well, when I see that...
And you see her, like, grip her jaw a little bit and tighten her arms around your sister. She kind of loosens up again, like,
well, we'll deal with that when it comes to it.
On the bright side, though, Talvin and Inverna will be coming with us.
She smiles.
You take care of those two.
With my life.
Please don't get yourself killed, even for them, even for your friends. Just don't die, please.
I can't make any promises. Not with these ones.
Same would be said for your father's friends and I. I'm going to try and get back to sleep. Nit will find you when they're ready.
Take care of her. Before all of this is done, she may be the only one left.
Yes. Again, that's a tomorrow me problem.
She kind of like closes her eyes and like begins to lean back against the kind of pillows.
Balance leans over and gives a gentle kiss onto his mother's forehead and then onto the baby's forehead.
It kind of makes a little gurgly noise and just like does the hand thing where it like reaches out and like clings really hard to whoever it's holding onto. And then, yeah, you leave them be. All right, about this wonderful touching Kodak moment is when Raoul and Squash make it onto the scene. You guys have found Zoltana like fairly quickly and you can gather up balance. Yeah.
Raoul sees the baby and he's like, about time.
No, would you? No, shh, Raoul, no. We're leaving the room.
You hear like this kind of like gurgling noise of like the baby staring, and then you just hear like a hushing noise and then a kind of really soft lullaby in Elven. You think maybe there are hints of magic to this lullaby because the baby goes quiet really quickly.
Oh shit, could you imagine magical sleep works on a baby every time?
It does. Well, it wouldn't, what on, are those, it wouldn't on an Elven baby. Because elven babies can't be put to sleep, remember?
Wait a minute. Wait, so do elven babies, like, they can't meditate, right?
No.
Do they just kind
do
of,
that
like,
kind of, like, rest thing?
They kind of just conk out?
Yeah. It's like vegging out watching Netflix, and, like, you don't know what you watch for 4 hours, but you watch something.
Oh, my God.
How long has it been walking?
What? No.
What?
I'm hoping this conversation happened away.
No, Balance is like pushing Raoul. Like, we're leaving. We're going right now.
You guys, the four of you find somewhere a little quieter, a little further away from the sleeping baby.
Before Mom decides to grab her bone, pepper fucking Raoul's ass.
Hang on, I just need to move the baby a little. There we go.
I'm going to give you a second tail. Dump.
Yeah, so yeah, the four of you are kind of like, you can be any way you want. Like, if you want somewhere quiet, like a meeting room, you could use like the one that was the link to the God meditation room. Right. Or you could just stand somewhere near the entrance to the barracks or near the mirror or
meditation room. Like, yeah. That's my favorite.
Any choice you want. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, so y'all can use that room. There's not really enough chairs, but yeah.
Sure. Okay. So, Squash, are you all right? Is there anything I can do for you?
No. I've thought about the situation we are all in. And if you guys will let me or think I can, I would love to help with the whole war thing.
Saving the world?
Yeah, that too. No, I'm more talking about the Elf Queen.
That is first on our order of business, yes.
It needs to happen as soon as possible. Before the elves and the dwarves clash, we can't afford the dwarves to be slowed down by a war. We need them in Kino now, before more gods die.
I agree. And I think that it would be a good idea if we can try to offer them aid, but once we get the elves back out of my aunt's control. Understand, I don't want to kill my aunt. If she's being controlled, then I do not think it would be the right thing to do to end someone's life.
Absolutely not. She's a victim then, being played.
Right.
Puppeted.
On the bright side, though, we have knowledge that the enemy might not be aware of. We know the focal point of what it is that's controlling her.
That's good.
The necklace that she wears, the, what was it, onyx and shale, is the focal point for the control. Whoever it is that's got the other piece is the one controlling her. Or rather, I should say, wherever they are. We know who it is, but...
Yeah. And you want to get that away from her. Do you think that's enough?
I'm hoping so. That's kind of my only plan, is that we go in, try to remove the necklace from her so that she's broken free of the control, and stop all of this. If that doesn't work, however, then I don't know. I really don't want to take her life.
Do you think I can help?
Think if anybody were sneaky enough to be able to pull it off, it might be you.
Oh. So, would we be going today?
I'm thinking we just hold off until tomorrow. I had my mother send word to my brother and father. With any luck, they'll get back. If they can be here to help, that would be fantastic. If not, then at the very least, father might have some advice.
Okay.
And that gives us time to plan things out.
I think that's good. Yeah.
So I have
you will accept my help.
Oh, of course. That wasn't in doubt from the beginning. It was more whether or not sure you wanted to help.
I wasn't sure you wanted my help. I absolutely bungled the vault. Everything. Go back and check the record. I think Squaw failed every trap.
I think he did, yeah.
But I don't think Ral told it that way.
Ral painted you to be a hero.
No, Squash got through most of it all right. He got past the old man without lying. He did fall in the goop.
He fell in the goop. He tripped off one trap, I think it was.
The first door in the key room.
He didn't do very well at seeing the keys. Oh, no, he did see the key. He just couldn't get to it very well.
He didn't get fireballed,
he fell in
though.
The goop. Yeah, I think I gave you a free pass towards the end because I made you roll two checks and the second one was a bit iffy. So I'm like, oh, just run, it'd be fine. And then, yeah, you goofed the save and then saved the second goofed the second save. So
No.
It was not his finest hour.
No.
I don't necessarily consider it a failure. All things considered, the way things went, I mean, things worked out in the end mostly. So.
Right.
I mean, as it stands as well, if the three of you had gotten to that final room, I imagine you may have struggled a little bit considering how things went with us.
Mm.
Especially considering we had Demi too, and things were still a big struggle. Zoltan right. almost died.
I did.
Didn't even kill them. I was blind. I had no idea what happened.
It was not a
fun time.
No.
All right.
My idea for what we could do anyways is between Rahl and Zoltana, I imagine the two of you may be able to restrain my aunt or keep her distracted and busy. I'll do what I can from my end of things. And with all of the distractions in place, I would hope that you might be able to somehow remove the necklace from her. It's very important, though, that you don't touch them.
Touch what?
Use a dagger, something, cut the string, cut whatever is holding the clasp. Don't
wait, I can't
touch it.
Can I wear gloves?
I don't know. That's a question for Demi. The only time I had to deal with the necklaces, I nearly possessed myself, weirdly enough. However, my mystic hand was able to work without any issue. The only thing is, if it's firmly fastened to her, then I don't think I would be able to remove it anyways.
Can I cut it off of her?
As long as you're not going to cut her head with it.
I make no promises.
Then I'd prefer that someone with a finer blade maybe did that.
I'll do my best.
Balance is going to reach in his bag of holding and he's going to pull out one of the plus one daggers. He has two left. Mm-hmm. He's going to take out one of the plus one daggers and hand it to Squash.
Oh, I have a bunch of knives. I'm good.
That one's a magical one.
Magical? Giving a magical item to me?
Yes. I've been trying to spread the love among the group. You just haven't been present.
You hear that, Squash? We love you.
Rawls is just covered in all kinds of dumbass bling to keep him alive now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you suddenly notice all the bling that Rawls is wearing. He also now has trousers.
Rawls rocking, like, the wrestling, the WWF wrestling belt.
Yep.
With a dial on it.
WWF? Wow, what are we, in the 90s?
Yes, Casey, because that's the last time I fucking watched wrestling.
We try one time to make a joke you'll like, and you make fun of us for making the joke you like.
Yeah, Casey. Can't make you happy, can I?
Nope, never.
There's no equal ground here.
Okay, I don't know what happy is. I have to be critical of everything. I love the WWF joke, but my question is, Can you smell?
See?
What?
Oh, the squash is cooking.
See?
Is cooking. What?
No, balance.
Well, everyone
cook.
Can because he burns it and it goes out into the street.
Well, that's why I'm asking, can you smell wow. what he's cooking?
You can.
God damn it.
You can.
That was a deep pull. That was almost 100 episodes ago, Paul.
If I can go to the stalking plane like sometimes I can, I might be able to sneak up on her and get it. I don't know what I'll touch it with. But if I get the chance, I should probably take it. Maybe I could take it off. I don't know. Could I touch things from the stalking? And interfere with them?
No.
Well, I don't think you could.
Because every time you do, you'd have to break through to the material plane.
I feel like we need to get Demi's opinion on that before we give a definite.
Right.
I'll be right back. I'll go ask her. Balance's going to go quickly run over to the mirror room since it's down the hall.
Sure.
Poke his head in. Hey, she's... Demi.
Hi.
Quick question for you.
Uh-huh.
The necklaces that my aunt is being controlled by.
She kind of like throws her head back and kind of like groans like, yes.
What's the rules on contact with that? Like if someone were to like grab it with gloves?
Don't do it. Nope, it's a bad idea. Nope, don't do it.
Any ideas how we could remove it? Without removing her head?
Oh. Oh, yeah, because you don't even want to kill the queen because she's your aunt and that would be super bad. I would recommend that someone wear really thick gloves or, like, you use some sort of, like, sphere of, like, nullification or something in the air because then that will stop the magical spell going off, but that could also, like, really mess up. Well, I don't know, maybe they didn't. Well, you could give that a shot or I would recommend gloves or I would recommend, like, trying to break it off of her, but it is a magic thing, so maybe it won't. But the links at the back may be weak, so you may be able to just rip it off her throat, but you may not want to take that chance. We don't rip it off.
So we need very thick pairs of gloves.
Yeah. Yeah, that might work. Yeah.
I mean, if we use
or
like
magic
something...
gloves, because like that would work.
Magic gloves?
Hey, I have these gloves. You give me some magic gloves. You could wear these. These might be able to do the job.
But no, like, but you need
I
them.
Mean, magic. Huh?
You need, well, you guys need them for the web.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe someone here will have magic gloves, so maybe you could just borrow some. Maybe you could ask some. Maybe you could get them made. Or yeah, we'll just get really thick gloves. I mean, like, really thin gloves would have to be magical, but really thick gloves, like, you'd probably get away with it. But, like, whoever it is would have to, like, really fine motor skills get over the fact that the gloves are really big, and that may, of course, actually affect the mind motor skills. They may have to do it so well, so, yeah. Or, of course, you could make, you know, you have your brain thing. You could just try and make her take it off.
How
like
Hiku's
suggestion or charm, but the charm may not stack on top of the other charm if it is in some sort of charm or a control thing, so that may not work. So you could attempt to break her will to do that thing, or you could freeze her in place and then just like very carefully take it off. I mean, those are options.
Do you think my control would work? Would it be able to overlap the control she's already under?
I do not know. Your not magic magic is a thing I don't understand, so I would very much love to pick your brain about that, but I don't think... the situation of the end of the world is a good time to do that. I mean, maybe when the world isn't ending, then I could pick your brains on how your brain works.
I think if anyone here is hard to control, probably is me. I might pass out. So maybe I should grab it.
We'll figure something out. All right.
And then Zoltan, I can have gloves or something. And then we all have kind of a way to do it.
Okay, we'll figure something out. But you keep the gloves because your side of things going to need it. All right. Is there a Carstens here in town? No? Suppose not.
No. At least not anymore, because like that would have broken down, like, no.
I think that... What? Wasn't there one?
No, absolutely. If Carstens was here before, it's not here anymore. It got broken up when the world started breaking up, so that doesn't exist anymore. And mostly fucking.
And also, we just went. You guys, we just went. You have to stop.
I mean, if you want really thick gloves, like, there'll be plenty of them around, like, especially in the training room where people work with, like, you know, chemicals. Oh, no, not chemicals. What did she say? Like, ingredients, like, for potion making. Like, a lot of people have very thick gloves to deal with those. And, like, people who work around the furnaces and around the forges and stuff, they may have thick pairs of gloves that you could borrow.
Good idea. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We walk away. The manacles that Carson gave us for whatever reason, I assume there's a key.
Yes.
That I have with it?
Yes.
Okay. Balance is going to actually take the manacles out and hand them to Balance, or to hand them to Balance. Yeah, Balance is going to hand the manacles to Balance. I'm losing my mind.
And then hand them to...
Balance is going to take out the manacles and hand them to Zoltana and say, might be worth a shot. Maybe when we're dealing with all of this, you might be able to get these on her somehow. I'll try to restrain her as best as I can. You could snap those on so she's less of a resistance, especially because if she can't move her hands around much, then she can't cast her magics, because I know she's a really powerful spellcaster.
I'll check. I feel weird putting handcuffs on your aunt.
I'm giving you explicit permission as her nephew.
Feels wrong, but okay.
Everything about this feels wrong.
Hey, Balance.
Hi.
Ross kind of looking kind of ashamed.
What's up?
What do I do if I start seeing things again?
It's a good question.
It was like a nightmare. I thought I was asleep. Rawl explained some of the things he saw, just so that you're made aware. And he emphasizes that he wasn't going to help you when you were a dragonborn. He very clearly says he wasn't going to be able to help do anything for you.
I don't know. Best thing I can think is that if something like that happens, if you have the mind for it, try to go into Teo.
What could I do from there, though?
I don't...
Teo kind of like wiggles up to your ear and just kind of like playfully nips on the bottom of it and then wiggles back into your hoodie.
We're all like pats it. Teo.
I don't know if you'll be helpful in combat at that point, but if you can at least communicate that you're hallucinating as Teo, like start, I don't know, flailing around or something, at least that tells one of us that we need to heal you.
Teo kind of like puts one like arm up on Ralph's shoulder and puts the other arm on top and like rests their head on top of their crossed arms, and you can see them intently looking at Balance and just kind of like bouncing up and down as if they're nodding, but not like over the top, just like enough to say that they understand.
That's the best thing I can think of.
Okay. I don't know if I'll be able to make sense of anything if that happens again. So.
Why don't we go into the workshop, see if we can borrow two pairs of gloves? One for you, Rawl, and one for you, Squash?
Okay.
That way, between the two of you, if one of you gets the chance, or if anything, use the dagger and see if you can try to cut the chain on the back.
Yeah.
I can wrap my sweater around my hand. And then he like kind of pulls the arm of his sweater down and kind of...
It's not the first time that you've convinced me that you could use your sweater to punch ghosts. I sure did.
That's true.
Oh, I'll allow it. It's super easy. Someone will, like, you just wander around and someone, but you're like, can I borrow a pair of gloves? And they're like, yeah, sure. And they just give you like a really thick, good pair of gloves. Like, it's super easy to get hold of.
Okay. So we outfit, I guess, both of them with the gloves regardless.
Yep.
Just to be on the safe side.
Could we get Squash studded armor? Studded leather armor. He's running around in simple leather. It's 45 gold according to the player's manual.
I have two pairs of studded leather armor I could give you.
Will you allow that?
Are you the right size?
That's what I was thinking.
I will allow an exchange. So with Balance handing over one piece of studded armor to, or one set of studded armor to like the smiths that are working in like the training workshop area, they'll be like, oh yeah, we can, yeah, don't worry about it, mate. We can get something for each size, point size. Yeah, take no time at all. In fact, I'm working on Ryman right now. So you can have this one and I'll keep hold of this one, or I'll outfit someone else in this. Save me a bit of work later down the line. Thank you very much.
Four flavor.
Come get it in the morning.
For flavor and also personal reasons, you're getting the kind of... I'm turning in the cruddy-looking studded leather armor that Bogrim had gotten me, because I'm not turning over my Inquisitor attire. That is personal armor.
Yeah, that's fine. So the studded armor will be available to Scorch's specifications in the morning. No gold necessary.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hello, and thank you so much for listening to this episode of TLD. Yep, Squash is back. Let's see how long it lasts this time. I'm not hanging my hat on that one. What we really want to make sure is that you guys know that we're doing a giveaway. Currently, if you go to our Twitter or to our Discord, you can find information about the cognitive merch and giveaway that we're doing. It's a really, really cool one. They have taken Player's Handbook, and they have leather-bound it specially, and added a bunch of pages with information, pictures, and graphs, and stuff just from the TLD world, written from the point of view of all the characters and all the NPCs and stuff. It's real fucking cool. I really want it, but V says I can't have it, that it's for the fans. So, yeah, whatever. So, please look into that stuff. It's so fucking cool, and everything, it's a giveaway. It's fun. Just, what's your favorite episode? What's your favorite quote? Please review us on iTunes and Podchaser and all those things, please.
Maybe I could take it off. I don't know. Could I touch things from the stocking and interfere with them?
Not like really, in that movie? No.
Can I train in the subway?
No, I'm not having any...
kicking cans in the subway.
I'm not having any...
What the fuck movie am I thinking of? Help me.
Ghost.
Yes,
you're thinking of the movie Ghost.
Literally, the movie is called Ghost.
My brain...
Ghost?
No, my... I can't, like... We're not having ghost references here. We're not going to have, like... Well, that's not true. We already have the ghost Aimer reference of her catching you when you, like, fall and, like, arms around you. Like, no, we're... No, No, you wouldn't be able to affect the material plane the physical plane on the stalking. Damn.
The Once and Future Nerd is a tale of knights and kings, orcs and elves, in which... Oh, you've heard that before, have you? Well, in this tale, three teenagers have been trapped, and together they must... Oh, you've heard that one as well? Fine. Here's what real people from your realm have to say about the Once and Future Nerd.
All reviews are by real fans, but performed by actors.
I call this one socially aware D&D.
Necromancers pervert the most sacrosanct traditions.
Not all necromancers! Oh, wait. Yes, that one is definitionally true.
An awesome adventure with plenty of LGBT representation and badass female characters.
Oh, wait. That wasn't very ladylike. Hark! Verily, I hereby decree that you all shall f*** yourselves.
It's a show that happens to deeply understand the world in which it was created.
Stories matter. People are the stories they tell. Power is who gets to tell the stories.
Find us at onceandfuturenerd.com.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.